wanted to spend just a couple minutes talking about God's sovereignty, and I'm sure that with this virus going around and many people in the world being sick and such, and the flu on top of everything, that you may have opportunities with people in the community, maybe relatives of yours or friends and neighbors of yours, to talk about the things of God. And very often a question that comes up, even without this type of thing going on, is the sovereignty of God and suffering in the world. And one of the major questions that people often ask is, if God is in control of all things and God is good, why does he allow so much suffering? Well, there's a lot to that question, but I want to just briefly walk through scripture with you and give some biblical thought into that type of question, and some things that you can share with those around you as this type of thing comes up. So number one, I do believe it is very clear that the Bible teaches that God is in control and that each thing that comes to pass is ordained by God and he is sovereign or powerfully in control of all things, and yet that does not take away our responsibility of choice. And it's very clear in scripture that as men choose sin and choose to do wrong, that they are held responsible for those things. But I want to share just a few things of God working things together for his glory and his good, and that is the ultimate end. That is the story of the Bible. Is God redeeming mankind for his glory. And each thing that happens in history contributes in a way towards that grand story of God bringing about his glory. So a recent story that we've worked through in Sunday school was Joseph. It was obviously sinful for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. It was wrong of them to do that. And yet Joseph, at the end of Genesis, is able to look at his brother, say, "You intended evil, but God meant it for good." So God ruled over this sinful act by these brothers towards Joseph and used it according to his will and for God's glory and the preservation of the Israelites through that famine in Egypt. We have plenty of other instances, such as God ordains things to happen because of punishment and a promise of punishment. For example, with Israel, he tells them that they are to worship him alone. They don't. They struggle with idols. So God raises up foreign powers who come in and take Israel captive and destroy the land and even destroy the temple. And those are obvious consequences for their sin. But I wanted also to be clear that people just suffer in general because of the result of the fall. When God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit, he said, "The day you eat, you shall surely die. There would be death entering into the world." And there is not only spiritual death, but there's physical death. And we live in a broken world that is groaning for the day of redemption. But this mindset that all sickness or suffering is an immediate result of somebody's sin is not so. John chapter 9, there's a clear passage when Jesus heals a blind man. And as they passed by, it says he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." So you see, it's this man being blind was not his fault, nor was it his parents' fault. It was simply part of God's sovereign plan and for the works of God to be displayed. And you might be wondering, how is that fair? Well, we are the creation. He is the creator. We are the clay. He is the potter. And God is sovereign over all, and he is good and powerful and gracious, and yet he also works all things together for his good, even if that sometimes means our suffering. And we can take Job as a clear example of that. The book of Job. Job goes through incredible suffering under God's sovereignty at the hand of Satan. And yet Job, when he comes to the end of the book, he recognizes that he ought not to question God's ways. God displays his power as the creator of all, and that we are to bow to his will and to give him all the honor and glory. How can we respond to that or help an unsaved person see that? And how can we really see that practically in everyday life? Well, it really boils down to this. Our God, despite the suffering and the sin and the sorrow and death here on this world, loved us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins so that these things could be set right one day. And right now, as we continue on this world of suffering and sin, what he's doing is he's actually showing us graciousness. He could wipe out the world at this moment, but not as many people would get saved. In his grace and his mercy, he's holding back his wrath and judgment on the world as more people are being born and more people are coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the church continues to grow and give him honor and glory. So he's actually being loving and not destroying the world as he did with Noah, or as he will in the end. And so if anybody ever asks, I like putting it this way, if anybody ever asks, why do bad things happen to good people? You can say they don't. Bad things happen to bad people because we're all bad people. We're all deserving of eternal punishment. All the suffering that we face here on earth is very minor and insignificant compared to eternity, of course. And what we can say is this, that only ever happened one time, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He is the only good person that something bad has happened to. He took the weight of the sin of the world upon his shoulders, yours and my sin, and he died upon that cross so that one day all things could be set right. So brothers and sisters, as we continue on this earth, as we go through different trials and hardships and sickness, may we look forward to the day when we see Christ and all things will be set right. And of course, eternity, when God will dwell with us and every tear and sorrow will be wiped away as we rejoice in the presence of God. I hope that helps and equips you for talking with others.